Hola, and welcome to the Overly Animated Podcast, where we take animation seriously. We talk everything animation here, including the Boss Baby, which we'll be getting into right now. I'm your host for today, Alex Bonilla, and I'm joined by Beatriz Murat.
Hi.
Michelle Anderer.
Hello.
And Sam Quattro.
Hello.
And you can find more about our podcast at overlyanimated.com. If you want to find other stuff we've talked about, you can subscribe to us on iTunes at overlyanimated.com/iTunes, where we appreciate your star ratings, or search for Overly Animated on any other podcatcher that you prefer. But yeah, today we'll be getting into a movie that's very important to talk about in this particular era, as on this Overly Animated podcast, we talk a lot of animated films. We've talked to several important films of 2017, including podcasts on Coco, on Ferdinand. We've talked to Loving Vincent on a recent Top 5 Animated Films of 2017 podcast, and I urge you to listen to all of those podcasts before, as they are also talking about perhaps more quality movies. But a couple of days ago, we had the nominations for the Academy Awards, and in the Best Animated Feature, there was one wide-release film, and obviously we're not including The Breadwinner, since that still hasn't come out totally yet, but one wide-release film that we have not talked about that was nominated in this category, and that is The Boss Baby.
I'm so sad Captain Underpants didn't make the cut. Yeah. I was rooting for you.
Yeah, so we'll talk snubs probably by the end of this film, once we have got, like, totally consumed what this film actually is. But we're going to try staying non-spoilers at the beginning, although this film has been out for almost an entire year at this point, so what are you waiting for? It's on Netflix.
It is on Netflix.
If it was on Netflix, I feel bad. That would have been better quality. Oh, well.
Well, you're tipping your hand, Michelle, so we'll go to you first with the first most important question. Did you like it?
I feel like the best word to sum it up is, like, forgettable. Like, I didn't think it was awful, but it wasn't, like, a DreamWorks classic. So, I will say it wasn't as bad as I thought when I heard of the concept. I was like, why, though? Why a whole movie, like, a big budget production from, like, a notable, like, company? Like, why a boss who was a baby? And having that very, like, low expectation going into it, it actually, like, wasn't as bad, but it also, like, shouldn't have been an hour and a half. So I think just, like, kind of forgettable, unnoteworthy would be my adjectives of choice to summarize it.
Okay. Beatriz, do you want to step in here, give us something hotter? Are you also on the just forgettable train?
I mean, the fact that I have to put the term Academy Award nominee before this movie is an insult to me, okay? It's not an insult to the Academy, because I'm better than the Academy, because they are so low that they were willing to nominate this film. It's just complete absurdity. It's ludicrous. I mean, look, I said this in the Discord, and I feel like it's very important to be vocal and express it in audio format. Mary and the Witch's Flower. Mary and the Witch's Flower. That is a superior film every way. Like, I don't understand. It's just once again a reminder that people don't take animation seriously. At least the people who actually think that they matter in terms of film, they don't take animation seriously, and it's just incredibly frustrating. And I hate just everything that this film stands for is what irks me. Maybe the film, just taking it as it is just, like Michelle said, it's just like, meh, I don't need it. I didn't ask for it. I didn't need it. You know what? What may have worked had it been a short film. Had it been, like, or an animated short, this concept maybe would have worked. But the fact that they gave us 90 minutes of this showed every little weakness of this concept and every little flaw of it. And it's just, I just regret. I missed those 90 minutes. I want them reimbursed.
Okay. Thank you very much. And let's go to Sam. Your thoughts on The Boss Baby.
I agree with Michelle that it was primarily forgettable. I just, you know, I'm sure that the people who worked on it are very surprised that it got nominated for an Academy Award. Aww. I'm sure that that's, like, a nice highlight at their family get-together. It's like, hey, I worked on The Boss Baby. It was nominated for an Oscar. And I'm sure, you know, that's a pleasant surprise to the author of the book it was based off of. However, the movie isn't good. It's kind of, like, bad.
Kind
I think the only thing really that it had going for it was the, like, how it delved into different animation styles throughout the film with the main kid's imagination. I think that is the only saving grace of this movie. Everything else is just, you know, you just throw out the window. Like, who cares? Who cares about Alec Baldwin as this toothless baby whose gums just haunt me in my sleep? Who cares about children? Who cares about
Jimmy Kimmel?
Who cares?
They're
the ones who care about children. Because this movie, I can't see them saying, I'm going to make this for adults. Like, well, I cannot.
That might mean they hate children too, though. If you're like, well, if adults can't enjoy this, then probably most people won't. I mean, probably not even kids. Because kids, you know, they can come at a certain amount of respect.
When I know,
maybe they hate everyone.
Look, society, look, clearly they don't take children seriously, or else they actually would have done something inventive and unique and worthwhile. It doesn't have to be perfect, but it could have been worthwhile. But they're just like, we want money.
Yeah.
Well, that's Hollywood in a nutshell. But but yeah, I'm in the same boat. This movie's just totally bland. That there's nothing aside from, as Sam says, like there's little moments where like it's a different animation style and all. That's fine for a little bit, but it just goes back to generic DreamWorks style animation. And just the premise is so thin. As you guys mentioned, it's based on a children's book that's about 16 pages long. There was a segment in the movie that was 30 seconds. That was basically half the book verbatim. So at that point, you're like, well, how did you think you were going to stretch this into something coherent for an 80-minute runtime? Like it felt such a drag at times. I was only half an hour in, and I was like, wait a minute, it's only been half an hour? Like it feels
makes so much sense.
Yeah, it felt like a drag very early on. And to the point of calling this like it's made specifically for children, my problem with that is that there's so many adult jokes in this as well that like would go over the head of a child. So like they're expecting these jokes to be for the adults, like, oh, okay, I'm intrigued, that was funny. But that there's so many clunkers of that category too, that it doesn't even work in that function either. So it's a terribly boring movie for long stretches of time. So the fact that this is what the Academy wants to highlight as the best of the year in the medium of animation is just very disheartening from an objective standpoint. When, as Beatrice mentioned, you have Mary and the Witch's Flower, you have several other Japanese films such as A Silent Voice and This Corner of the World that could have been nominated. And even Western films like the Lego Batman movie or Despicable Me 3, Can't Said Underpants.
Yeah.
But there were several other candidates that were out there that are objectively better than this film. So it's just, it's a chore to watch this movie, unfortunately.
Who? What is the appeal of the Boss Baby?
Wait, what did you say, Sam?
What is the appeal of the Boss Baby?
Well, let's go to this. Like, is there a good movie to be found in this premise? Because in the children's book, at least from the brief YouTube video I saw this on, it keeps it in the figurative, right? Like, it's a baby who shows up to the house, and he acts like a boss because obviously he cries a lot, so the parents are at his whim. And at the end, the parents are tired, and so the baby finds out that they don't pay attention to him anymore. He says his first words, mama, dada, and they wake up and listen to him again. And that's the end of the book! Like, that's it! So,
is there a brother?
No, there's no brother. It's just the baby.
Oh.
So,
I would have preferred that! I would have preferred a baby, like, a boss baby tale and have an adventure with him and his gang of babies. That to me would have been more, and it had been like an adult in a baby body with a bunch of babies that are actual babies. And then have them be in this wacky adventure. That would have been so much more entertaining than this redundant, cliched story of an only child not wanting a brother or sister. There were so many alternatives to this. And there is like something in the premise, there is something there worthwhile. But the thing is just, it didn't have to be a movie. It could have been a short, and it didn't have to be this reinterpretation of that short story. It could have been more creative. It could have been more dramatic, and instead, it was just the most typical and standard you can get.
Yeah, and speaking of that, we can move over here to the voice cast. Obviously, a lot of this the advertising for the Boss Baby was on the fact that Alec Baldwin, gruff-voiced guy, voices a baby. So how do we feel about his performance as a tough-talking baby?
Hard pass.
You were not a fan of giving the deep voice.
I hate Alec Baldwin to begin with, so not the movie for me. Not the voice for me. I'm over it.
Okay. Michelle, Beatrice, any thoughts on him or any of the other voice acting choices in this movie?
I thought Alec Baldwin, I mean, if we're gonna have a boss baby who's basically a man who's in a baby body, I mean, I guess he did fine. Like, I didn't find his acting distracting at all. I thought it fit the concept. I just have a problem with the concept carrying for an hour and a half. But I didn't have any particular beats with anybody in the voice cast. And, like, whoever they got for, like, the main kid, I thought I did, like, a fine job. Not remarkable, maybe, but, like, fine, yeah.
Yeah, the character wasn't really given very many moments to shine. It's notable that the voice of the kid is Miles Bakshi, who is the grandson of Ralph Bakshi, the poster child for adult mature animation. So you can imagine, you know, the Boss Baby is a good precursor to Fritz the Cat. Can we say that, right?
Oh my god, no it's not. No! No!
I will say this one thing about Alec Baldwin. When I was watching, like, you're not watching... you're not seeing him act, like, he's not acting as a character, he's just acting as Alec Baldwin. Does that make sense? Like, I don't mind seeing what he can do with this, because like I knew that was what I was getting. It wasn't gonna be like an actual character. It was just gonna be look at Alec Baldwin being a baby. Like they just were like, oh, perfect casting, and they just like worked around it instead of actually creating a decent character.
Yeah, it admittedly is the right choice for a business person, especially if you consider his role in Gary Glenn Ross, which they referenced at some point in this movie. Also, the only part of Baldwin's performance that I appreciate is his like wheezing laugh. Like it does give a bit of the condescension you need out of a character like this. Like that's the only part. They're like, oh, okay, well, he's the only one I think who like sells that. But other than that, it's like, well, whatever. It's just a deep voiced baby. Also, we have notably Jimmy Kimmel and Lisa Kudrow as the parents, but of course, the parents don't
they
really
were
talk.
Pretty boring.
So,
yeah.
Like, why get Lisa Kudrow at all? Like, she talks even less than the dad in this. I'm pretty sure. So, like,
parents are basically like props and plot points for most of the movie. They're not
people
really
need to make money. So,
you're right.
Yeah.
We also have Steve Buscemi as the villain. Notable information. Do you guys know who was supposed to voice the villain before Buscemi? Was
I think you might.
Well, none other than a name who is probably more problematic than Alec Baldwin, Mr. Kevin Spacey.
Oh,
ah,
my God.
Really? Oh, wow.
In a baby, in a baby movie. But, he dropped out before all this happened, so Buscemi steps in.
I like Buscemi's performance. Mostly because it reminded me that he was in Monster House, which was a movie I really liked, so it just made me want to watch Monster House.
I still haven't seen Monster House. I've heard it's actually kind of scary, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's great. Uh-huh. I recommend Monster House over Balls Baby.
Okay.
Wow, whatever.
That seems pretty fair. I've heard good things about Monster House.
I feel like we're going to recommend a lot of movies over Balls Baby.
Come with the territory of reviewing this movie.
And finally, the only other big name I think we're missing is Tobey Maguire as the narrator. He has a decent chunk in the beginning, and he shows up again at the end. And it's just also like pretty much nothing there. Like he's just a name to attach to your cast, but he doesn't really add anything. I think anybody could have done that.
Hey, ever since he got booted out of Spider-Man, he needs the money.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
What has Toby been in lately? The Great Gatsby. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like a couple years ago.
Yeah. So
I will say more than Alec Baldwin. He was the one that made me kind of like, ooh, I don't, well, at least before Alec, I saw this movie before Alec Baldwin defended Woody Allen, but that's a whole other conversation. But I saw Molly's Game, and a particular character in there is based on Tobey Maguire, and he's not the greatest character, but he does some pretty bad things, so I'm just like, ooh, I don't know if I don't like that, I don't like his voice in a children's movie at the moment.
Yeah, also, some people may think back to his past with Leonardo DiCaprio and a couple of other actors in a group name that I'm not allowed to say on this podcast, but, you know, Tobey Maguire brings back things from the 90s and early 2000s that may not be comfortable with babies. But, yeah.
We're giving people so many reasons not to watch this.
Well, let's give them more reasons by actually going into the story here. So, if you want to watch this, because it is pretty crazy, all the stuff that happens, so if you really want to, go ahead, go watch it, or pause. We've already given you your good warning. But we'll begin here. From the very beginning, we get a cold open of, like, hard cut into Tim being in the middle of the Congo, and he's fighting a gorilla, and you're like, wait, what is, like, from the very beginning, I was very,
very disoriented.
Yeah, disoriented is the word. Like, what's going on here? And then it turns out that it's his imagination, and Tobey Maguire begins setting the story back then, you relied on your imagination. And so we're already setting this as, oh, well, this happened a long time ago, like before phones, before internet.
Kids don't have imagination anymore. We have the internet for that.
Back then, you relied on your imagination.
It's called fan.
And yet, it's these people who claim that made this movie, which lacks imagination.
This movie is very safe, I will say that. Like, it's a very safe movie.
Well, how do I feel about this decision, like, from the very beginning to be like, well, this is going to be, like, sort of in his imagination, but not really. Like, we're going to go back and forth. Like, at least to me, they do a terrible job, like, in the rest of the movie, like, delineating, like, what's imagination, what's real. It just ends up being very confusing to the logic of the story.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been nice if they actually created some limitations and rules into what's real and what's not and not blurred them, because it seemed lazy to me. It seemed like, oh, we're gonna have the mom be pregnant, but the tummy's just gonna disappear, like, the baby, like, the thing doesn't work, and we're gonna have him, like, I don't know, it's just this, there was this, again, I saw the movie, like, a couple weeks ago, so I don't have exact details coming straight to mind, because it's not 100% fresh, but neither is the movie. The movie is not fresh, and it's
more hot takes.
I'm full of them today. But yeah, it's just, lazy to me. It screamed, oh, we're not going to tie up this hole in our story because who's going to think that deep into this? And it's like, you have not met us.
You've not met most people who think about things and want things to make sense and feel satisfied how they spend their time watching stuff.
Right. And so, yes, we do see the mom being pregnant after we get this whole montage. Oh, my parents love me. I'm the only one that matters in this family, but pretty much.
They don't matter, but I matter.
Yeah. How messed up is it that they just, like, didn't tell him when she was about to pop? Like, come on.
How did he not notice? He's like, hey, mom, you look kind of round for, like, the past, like, 6 months. Like, what's going on there? Oh, it's not. We'll tell you at that time. Don't worry about it.
Do you want a baby brother?
Nah.
Like it's just so over the top.
Ready to go, yeah.
Bad parenting 101.
But yeah, so we have this revelation that the mom is pregnant. So we cut to the opening credits, which shows us the baby factory in the sky. Maybe heaven, who knows? And of course, you gotta have the song Cheek to Cheek playing because we open on a baby butt shot, and we're gonna see a lot of those during the movie.
So charming. Yay. What's it?
Okay.
My soul's dying.
Ah, okay. We're about like 3 minutes into the movie, so.
Not that far in.
We're introduced to Alec Baldwin baby as he goes down the conveyor belt. There's a couple of visual gags, including the gender designator.
He gets
designator.
Everything wrong.
Yeah, everything's wrong.
I'm like, is he gonna be a defective baby? No, he's just gonna go into upper management. He didn't pass any of the tests right.
Yeah, it's established here that at the end of the day, if the baby is ticklish, then they go to the family and they're a normal baby, but if they're not ticklish, they go to management of this baby company, BabyCorp, and he gets his suit and his entire outfits and blah, blah, blah. So we're introduced to that. And so we cut back to the Earth and we see Tim seeing the boss baby come in a taxi. And of course, Tobey Maguire blurs the lines immediately. Like, my parents always said I had an overactive imagination, but I clearly remember the baby arriving in a taxi. And so like, what? And so boss baby does a little jig and meet your new baby brother. And at this point is where we get, the introduction of Boss Baby being a boss to the parents. This part in particular is like the part that's lifted verbatim from the book of the narration saying he set up his office, he conducted meetings, lots and lots
that
of meetings.
That makes so much sense.
Like this,
because that was the strongest part of the movie.
Yeah,
that was the best conception. Yeah, wow. The first 20 minutes. Like, I was like, oh, that's a cool idea. Like, he thinks he's a boss, but like, he's not, he's just a baby. But then like, maybe he is a boss because I can't tell how serious this is. But yeah, that was definitely the strongest part in the movie.
Theory. I have a theory. Do you think, had they just started with the kid, not shown us the baby world, it would have been stronger?
Yes.
Like, if they had just taken out the beginning and they had just given us, like, and that would have made the reveal all the better. It would have made the reveal of the world all the better. Don't show us that. Just like, if they really badly wanted to put that in there, they could have put it as like a flashback later when the boss babies explain to him how everything works in reality with babies, if that is, you know what I mean. So it's like, I don't know, I just feel like there's a lot in this movie that, at least in the script, that needed a second draft. It needed, or a third, or however many drafts they did, they were not enough. It needed another one.
I agree with that, because like, I know a lot of times people say show, don't tell, but I think if he like literally just arrived in a taxi with the suit on, we know anything else about him, like the mystery surrounding that in this other like world he came from would have been way more interesting. And just seeing the weird cloud sorting thing.
Yeah, it would work a little bit more as a twist, right? Like, oh, okay, this is actually real, all this is happening. But, so we have that whole sequence, and so eventually Tim blurts out to his parents, like, don't you guys notice anything suspicious? He's wearing a suit, and the mother recognizes that he wears a suit. It's cute, isn't it? So, like, there again, it's like, okay, so this is real, then. Or is it not? But,
there's so much happening with, like, what's imagination, what's not? And, like, I don't know. It's messed up.
It is very messed up. And also, like, imagine, like, if he's wearing that suit every single day, does that imply that the parents never change him? Or, like...
Yeah, they didn't put the suit on them. Isn't that weird to them? They never dress him in normal clothes. Like, does he stop them? So many questions.
Yeah, like... Man.
But, obviously his parents don't pay attention to him because of how obsessed they are with the baby, so Tim does his own investigation, and hears the phone ringing in the baby's room, and so he sneaks up, and, fart poop duty! Like, that's Alec Baldwin's first, like, real words in the script, so.
Oh, yeah, it sounded like the F word, didn't it?
Yeah, if you say farts really loudly and, fast, then I would understand why you'd get that. And so immediately he sets his ground, like, I'm a boss. The kid is very skeptical. He's like, but you wear diapers. You know who else wears diapers? Astronauts and NASCAR drivers. And so that's like a baby joke. Astronauts, I guess they do, because where else are they going to go, you know?
Yeah. But, maybe NASCAR drivers, because they have to, like, drive a lot and they can't really take a bathroom break because they're, like, going
driving
laps.
Yeah.
Maybe they're...
That's true. Yeah.
They're going so fast it messes with their bladder.
It,
you know?
It makes sense, but, you know, it's not a great joke. Well, we also get here our first version of, I guess, weak sexism, where he makes fun of his middle name being Leslie. Like, as if, like, oh, okay, it sounds female.
Yeah, that was a joke that was dragged on a lot and never worked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And shout out to Leslie Nielsen, a famous male Leslie, so that they're out there.
One of those male Leslies.
Woo! Yeah. Show you.
Good job.
Also, later we'll mention a Lindsay joke, and shout out to Lindsay Buckingham of Fleetwood Mac, really good guitarist. But anyways, yeah, so he sets the boss baby sets out, and, well, I'm taking all your parents' love, ooh, and he uses this beads metaphor that there's only so much love to go around. We make some business school jokes. And so the next day, Tim has to devise a plan to catch this boss baby in the act. Actually, this is the first introduction of the Lord of the Rings alarm clock of Gandalf. Like, that was.
Did they get in trouble with that reference? I mean.
I don't think so. For the record, I mean, Ralph Bakshi did do a Lord of the Rings adaptation, so I wonder if, like, that's, like, an homage or something.
Yeah, his grandson got an in for him.
Instead of the other way around.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but like that's like the one little gag, the recurring that I kind of got like chuckles out of, just because it's like the straight up rip off of Lord of the Rings lines. It's like, oh hey, that's a better movie. but yeah, so he devises this plan to go spy on the babies. This is our first like real animation change, because he dresses up as a ninja, and so it goes into like 2D. It's just got the red and black coloring. So like that little segment as well, I do think is worth highlighting, just because it's like, well, at least they're experimenting in something. Like they're trying to go away from the DreamWorks boring style, like round-headed style all the time. Any other thoughts on like just the visual changes here or in the rest of the film? Like anything stood out to any of you?
I liked the pop-up book segment towards the end, when the villain's showing them like his tragic past, I guess. I just like the way it looked, the composition and how it flowed, but those are all technical things. Like, I imagine this is a project where people who animate, who got the fun sections, were like, yay! A big name company I can put on my resume in this cool standalone sequence that functions well. I don't have to worry about the rest of the story being a hot trash mess. My sequence looks nice, yay, I can go to sleep tonight. So, like, good for the animators, good job.
Yeah, so, yeah, definitely the storybook thing at the end is also, like, a different style, and so that's very interesting to watch, and back here, we have the whole the 2D of like him going on the walls and all that. But then it turns out that the boss baby has invited other babies, or he has influenced the parents to bring the babies. I'm not sure how that works.
It's not
but...
clear.
Play dates.
Yeah, but somehow there's a play date. Hooray. And so we have this business meeting. I guess we can talk about the supporting cast here of the babies. We have the big one named Jimbo, who is basically the grunt's work guy, and we have the three twins, and we have the little secretary girl, who kind of looks like Agnes from Despicable Me.
Yeah, she does.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And any thoughts on these characters? Do any of them stand out, or are they just all cut out?
They are definitely babies.
Well, that is true. That is true.
I mean, yeah, there's not really much there to really talk about in terms of characters and characterization of them, because they're just there to facilitate, and they don't get used much. There's maybe a couple few jokes, not most, and they don't all land. I like the yes man jokes, they're great, but I mean, I don't know, it just kind of shows that here are these things that you could have done more with, and they just don't. They just put them there because they want more babies in there, I guess.
Yeah, and the thing is, Boss Baby himself recognizes in the middle of this, you guys are useless, why do I have you? But then, like, the characters are useless to begin with, so why are we watching? Why do they have to be here? Anyways, in this meeting, the Boss Baby reveals that there's a Puppy Co., the company that the parents work for, and the CEO named Francis, good job on the naming, guys, first name, last name, but that they're going to release a new puppy that will put babies out of business, because apparently puppies are a replacement for babies, and if puppies lasted forever, nobody would have babies. This logic works out, am I right?
Yeah, I mean, it's great. It's not like, you know, the human species procreates in order to keep surviving. We only procreate because babies are cute. Mm-hmm. Like, no.
Like,
babies are ugly. I'm sorry, they all look like little aliens. And, like, who needs them? I agree, puppies are better.
Oh, okay.
Well, we are dealing with overpopulation and all that jazz. I have to show you a picture of this adorable baby that is not ugly. There are pretty babies out there.
Getting on the ugly baby train, like, I think Sam and Beatrice are both right. Because the thing is, when babies you know, come out, they're never fully formed, because that literally kill a lady. Like, if you waited for, like, I don't know, like 10 months or something, like, that baby would be too big to get it out. Like, and even with the, like, C-section, you could totally die. So the reason they look all red and squashy and gross is because they're not fully developed when they come out. And that's normal, but it's a fact of life. When people say, like, they first saw their kid and they're beautiful, they're lying through their teeth because they're not cute for another couple weeks at least. So I agree with both of you. It's true. They start off ugly and they get cute, like, a little bit after sometimes.
Okay, well, I will say one thing. Puppies may be cute since birth, but the puppies in this movie were not cute.
Like, oh, yeah, they're like DreamWorks puppies.
Yeah,
DreamWorks puppies, TM.
Like, I was just like, all right, you're gonna give me the most adorable puppy in the world that is a forever puppy, then give me a puppy that I want. I don't want those puppies. I don't know.
They had such big eyes.
3D animated puppies are almost always kind of ugly. Just saying.
When they were using cute dog references, like stuff goes, they had like a really cute, normal looking beagle and stuff in there. When they had little baby beagle puppies, that would have been way cuter.
Maybe. Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, the Secret Life of Dogs is, or however, the Isle of Dogs, the Wes Anderson movie. So that's coming soon, so we'll be able to see if dog animation has improved.
Can I say also that movie, I don't understand why there are no Shiba Inus in that movie. Can I just say that?
Yeah, are Shiba Inus kind of like testy? Like, don't they like get kind of angry a lot? Or is that a myth that I heard?
Yeah, but like the movie takes place in Japan!
Yeah.
Like,
oh, okay.
Shiba Inus are like their dogs.
Yeah, okay.
Speaking of, there is a joke.
I have a lot of thoughts about that movie, but it's not the time.
Well, related, there is a joke here that the Shar Pei is a designer brand, but now it's number one in China. I'm like, okay, thanks. But, like, bringing back to the bad jokes of this movie. So, in the middle of this whole thing, baby gets annoyed that these other babies are not understanding him. So we get a very, at least to me, a kind of disturbing scene where he punches the teddy bear through the heart and takes out his battery. Like, that was like, whoa. Like, that finally something a little scary in there. But Tim has recorded this meeting, and so the babies have to chase after him. We get our first, I guess this is our first chase sequence of the movie. I do like the musical selection and playing the theme from SWAT, although that's a reference that not many people these days are gonna get.
I did not get it.
Yeah.
Good job, Alex. 1 in 4.
Yeah, exactly. Well, once again, they're throwing references here to things from like 30 years ago, but like, if this is supposed to be a kid's movie,
babies
but
aren't gonna know what that is.
Yeah, and it's not, and it's the best reaction you get out of adult is, oh, that's neat. Like, they're not even
like,
good references.
Wow, I get it.
Yes.
That's what you should aspire to when you work in a major industry. Oh, wow, that's neat. Audience cold take reaction.
And one part I do like here where they have the whole chase of him getting dragged by by Boss Baby's police car, and then it cuts to the parents seeing Tim being dragged like 1 mile per hour, and it's like, oh, they're getting along. But it's nice to go from like all the action stuff to just seeing like a kid getting his face dragged along the grass. I took enjoyment in that. Let's see. And then and eventually, once again, blurring the lines here, the parents go out and they see broken glass and fire, even though you're like, wait, but we just did a cut showing that it's not going at that speed. So how, and
maybe that's their imagination, that they see the kids, they're unwatched, they're like all over the place. And it's the parents' imagination of like, oh my God, there's glass and there's this and there's that. That could have been interesting.
So we're going imaginationception?
More clear, then that could have worked, but that's not what they meant. They clearly, that's just, you know, lazy, not clear on what's imagination, what's not. But that could have been an easy way for them to have like maneuvered out of that situation.
Yeah, it's like that reminds me of Inside Out, right? Because you have the main mechanic of the feelings in the main character's head, but you also get to see it happen in the other parents and how it's different.
Oh,
right?
That's true. Yeah.
So it's like, oh, well, that might work in here, but no, we just got to keep blurring the lines of just for like attempts and jokes. But anyways, Tim gets frustrated and tries to slingshot the Boss Baby out of the house. I mean, if you're anti-baby, I guess that works, although that would be... I think the police would be involved at that point.
I don't think that I would slingshot a baby out of the house just because I don't like it. I would just give it back to its parents.
Admittedly, some of us have fantasized about it, but like, you never actually do it.
Good thing I'm the youngest.
Yeah. So the parents find this out, they get angry, so Tim is grounded, we get a little bit of imagery of him feeling he's like in jail. That's kind of neat, I guess.
He's 7 and a half and he he's never been grounded before. This kid's like a miracle.
He just had such a perfect relationship with his parents because they love them. And when your parents start to hate you, they ground you.
I mean, look at this family. He from the very first moment, you get it very clear that this kid has been spoiled his entire life. He gets like three hugs
true.
And five kisses, the same song every day. And then when the baby shows up, they just do the same exact thing to the baby. So like, how am I supposed to expect these people to do punishments well? And even in the span of this movie, how many days passed that he's actually grounded? Like 3 days at most? When it was
I don't know. It felt like the same night when the boss baby came back to his room. But like, yeah, maybe it was a couple days.
But like, even if a couple of days, and imagine that, 3 weeks. But like, how are you supposed to take punishment seriously from these people who have never done anything bad to their kid in their life?
Yeah.
But anyways, so the boss baby tries to show some sympathy here for the first time, but because he needs help. There's a joke here where he sings Blackbird, and it's like, my parents wrote that song for me, and the boss baby, your parents are Lennon and McCartney? I found that okay. Also, at some point, because he talks about being from the sky, he's like, are you the baby Jesus? But, of course, that leads us to think, like, where does Jesus fit in the whole baby structure here? Like, what was he? Was he the biggest boss?
I tend not to think that deep into it. I tend to just be like, you know what? I was like, you know what? The minute I saw like the pregnant belly just like thing happening, I was like, you know what? I'm just not. Physics and rules and things, they don't apply. So I'm just not going there.
I only bring this up because it's more interesting to think about that than what actually happens in this movie. So.
Yeah, that's very fair.
I would have rather them actually, like, I don't know, like, shown us baby Jesus. And then had it, like, shown a picture of baby Jesus, and he's like, and him, or something. And then, and been like, some funny reference or something. Like, shown, like, you know, like, a Da Vinci baby, not Da Vinci, or Da Vinci, yeah, no. He drew, right?
Probably.
He was nervous as well.
He drew naked things, and we see lots of naked babies in here, so it works.
Would have worked.
This part's a little disturbing, because he mentions that, I want to show you where I work. Here's my binky, I want you to suck it.
And then he said that so many times, and then he's like, you need to,
Of course, in the Alec Baldwin voice, it's much better, isn't it?
No, that's the thing, yeah, because of the Alec Baldwin voice, it just, like, it was said with such intensity from, like, a grown-ass man.
I wonder if there's a YouTube poop of that yet.
I hope so. That would be like the only nice thing to watch after talking about this movie.
There's definitely material here.
Yeah, definitely.
Also, after saying suck it, at some point he says faster. Like,
yeah, that's what I
meant. Nope. Bye.
Why? This had to be boarded before it was animated. I mean, they had so many times, like so much time down the road to like just think about it in context.
But see, it's funny if a baby says it.
In a man voice, though.
But by way of sucking these pacifiers, they take the astral plane and end up as holograms in the middle of baby core. The boss lands in a Superman pose, so that's another visual gag there.
I really wish this movie wasn't the way it is.
At this point,
we're just doing so many things. Like, oh, now we're going to the astral plane of the boss baby.
Yeah, when I said it like that, it sounded a bit weird, didn't it?
Yeah, it does.
We need to stay a little bit more grounded in this boss baby scenario, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, but
didn't make the movie.
Yeah, this entire
thing. I don't have like billions of dollars, so whatever. What do I know?
Yeah, this entire baby corp thing is like it can be cut out. I don't need to know what the baby's business structure is like. Just tell me he's a boss. Okay, I believe you. But actually, speaking of where babies come from, here's a joke where like, my parents told me babies come from whisper, whisper, whisper. Oh no, that's disgusting. So once we're just like, forget, sex doesn't exist, guys. Don't worry.
Sex doesn't exist. Like the burdens of growing stuff in your bod for a while and getting all your organs smooshed down doesn't exist. No, I just make them in a factory in the sky. La la. I don't know. I don't like that kind of sanitized. It makes me mad. I feel like, this movie's too safe to get into, like, you know, like, realizing, like, you know, your pregnancy is, like, an ordeal, and, you know, it's a big thing, and maybe you should be nice to the people that are pregnant, and, like, really think about what they undergo, and so it's like, nah, sex isn't even involved, this is a factor in the sky, we already told you that at the beginning of the movie.
The children can't know about sex, Michelle.
Yeah, I can, they see, I mean, if they're a second child, they already see their mom pregnant, unless they're really oblivious like this kid is, but, like, they know something's going on.
And the thing is, in including this joke, you're assuming that the kids who are watching know what the whisper is. So so the joke only works if you actually know, but if you actually know, then this joke is stupid. I'm pretty sure that at some, like, he says, my parents told me babies come from this. But at the beginning, he said, this is the story my parents told me of how I got my baby brother. So which is it?
That's a good point, too.
Yeah, but, so anyways, he gives him a tour of this office or whatever. We are introduced to the boss baby's boss, who is Big Boss Baby, basically just a female boss with kind of a Russian accent, kind of screaming at everybody. That there's a pie chart of love that they show here. He points to it saying the puppy slice is getting bigger. Although, obviously, the biggest travesty here is that cats and fish are both up equal.
Yeah. Bread is so small! I hate it!
Like a shots fired at cat people. Like,
I know!
And like, even worse, like, how much love are you gonna dedicate to a fish? Like, they don't even live that long.
That's so true.
I don't know, like, somebody's gonna email us, like, Alex, I really love my fish. How dare you say that?
Well, good job loving your fish for the next month.
But, shots fired!
Like, I had fish as a kid. I probably, like, up to, like, maybe 20, maybe, but they all die. So, like, what's the point?
Well, everything dies.
I mean, everything dies, but you gotta give your love to something that's gonna last, you know?
I mean, I have a cat that's been around since I was in the fifth grade, and she's still, like, kicking and sassy as always. So, yeah, on the scale of, like, life expectancy, fishes are not up there, the same level at all.
Right.
Okay, well, you know what? Like,
what?
There are some fishes in the ocean.
Oh, my God. Long.
But they're not...
They're the deep, dark parts, none of the people can snatch them up.
The ocean is my fish tank, because I wasn't allowed
Okay.
You got the giant sea squids that, like, nobody knew about until they washed up on the shore one day, and they're like, oh, it must be in the dark part of the ocean. But hey, that can be your fish.
But hey, guess what? They can't be pets, so, you know, they don't count.
In spirit! Nobody sees just as pet fish in spirit!
Yeah. Yeah. You know how you can, like, name a star, and it's, like, yours or whatever? It's the same concept!
Oh, it's a giant cephalopod.
Sure.
Charity moment.
We're also introduced to basically what is the boss baby's motive in this, basically to get a promotion in this get a corner office and a golden toilet, hooray. And also,
so sad. Like, all he wants, it's like two things in the whole world.
Is a corner office a big deal, question mark?
Yes, if you're a baby.
I don't know. I don't know.
And, like, he gets a view of the conveyor belt, but does he really want to see all the naked crying babies every day?
I guess.
Like, there'd have to be a noise issue at some point, unless you got, like, noise-proof glass, I guess, but... He also mentions here that he looks up to super colossal big fat boss baby. I can't believe I said that out loud. But we'll see him again in the later part of the story. So they go back. He realizes that his boss is getting angry and they need results. There's a crotch joke in here as he throws the pacifier at Tim's area. So that was nice.
His groin.
Sure, his groin. Crotch, groin, whatever. It's all the same in the in the language of humor. Let's see here. He also at some point gets angry at Tim and says, if I get fired, I'll be there every day at night. And we get some really creepy but
that
like good imagery.
Fun. But,
like,
yeah, that sequence is good.
Like comes out of the soup. There's like little boss baby heads coming out of a pinata. That's like out of a horror movie.
And the ornaments and the giant like atomic bomb cloud. There's a lot.
That was weird because like the baby is aged, but he still looks like a baby just with a gray beard.
Kid though.
Well, yeah. Like that'd just be weird seeing an old baby. But I guess it's a Benjamin Button situation. Eventually they convince each other, okay, we'll work together so I can get you out of here. We get this monologue about memos being important because you know, business, blah blah, and a memo can change the world. And when you explain it like that,
when
it still sounds
boring.
When
has a memo ever changed the world?
I mean, I'm sure it has, but not in ways that normal people would notice.
Maybe, like, when the Cuban Missile Crisis was happening, there was a memo that needed to pass the information that someone wanted to call someone to make that call happen and stop the Cuban Missile Crisis, and that is how the memo saved the world. It doesn't tell us to think about it.
We should watch a movie on that memo, yeah.
Oh, the memo.
I mean,
do
telegrams count as memos? Because back then, that would have been important, like the Zimmerman telegram in World War I or something.
Or, like, do you the post, you know? The Pentagon papers or whatever? Like, technically, those are memos, and those are, like, pages and files and things, and they're changing the world. All these,
we
like,
need to start a series called Memos That Change the World.
Yeah. That sounds so dry, but I can make it interesting.
We can make it interesting. Yeah, we can put on, like, the History Channel or something.
See, the boss baby did inspire something good. Or not. But, but they decide that the only way for them to get ungrounded is to pretend to like each other, so we get a montage here, and they feed the baby. There's actually a good joke here at the end when he's reading him the story. It's like, Hansel and Gretel is about cannibalism and burning people alive? No wonder kids are messed up. So like, at least I found that funny.
I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
But, is that what it was about, cannibalism?
I mean, it depends if you think...
What if the witch eats kids?
Yeah, is the witch human? That's the question, right?
Yeah.
Because a human eating human children, like, you know, that would be tough. But if a witch is, like, part of another species, then, you know... It's a survival of the fittest. But,
Don't trust strangers is what that story is about, I think.
Don't let your parents try to get rid of you because they're facing hard economic times.
Hansel and Gretel has strong morals. You just gotta dig for this.
Don't eat candy houses. Is that the... I don't know.
Don't follow crumbs to a stranger's house.
That's all he had, though!
That's fair. So, but yeah, in this montage, they've slowly warmed up to each other. Ha ha, hooray. There's a... the next day they get ready. Yeah, because like it's predictable, right? Like they hate each other, they're gonna like each other, they're gonna get in a fight, they're gonna like each other again. It's like following all the cliches of an animated of a kids movie. But we get to the next day, they're getting ready to go to work because they've proven that they're friends now. There's a fart joke where the baby farts baby patter. That's nice. The parents are actually going to spend some alone time with Tim, but Tim decides, well, I'll stay with the baby. And so they go into this dog corp. I realize I'm just pointing out every bad, crude joke here, but they go out of the dog's butthole. Like there's a bounce house that's like a dog. They just get pooped out. your silence speaks volumes.
To say about that.
Just,
yeah.
It's there.
It's there.
They dress up the boss baby as a puppy and they break in. Let's see here. They find the document and they remove it in an Indiana Jones style. Oh, you got to replace the thing with something that weighs the same. So once again, pulling stuff from better movies. And then they get trapped, but they stay to watch this Rube Goldberg machine. Like at least that guy is like, why is this here? Like that was like one of the most obvious. Like, okay, we're just filling time here.
Even in this podcast, I feel like we're just filling time.
I mean, talking about Boss Baby in general is filling time.
I feel like this is the record of how of most times we've gone off topic in a podcast because there's just
that's the only way, the only way to make this entertaining because the movie itself is not
exactly, and it's just not just entertaining, but just internally, just in our instinct, we want to talk about anything but the Boss Baby.
But they fall into Francis's room and it reveal he's actually the super colossal big fat boss baby, but it's old. And so here's where we get the storybook animation, as Michelle referenced earlier. This is actually kind of an interesting look aesthetically.
Was nice. Yeah, I was captivated for 2 minutes, however long it was. Yeah. That 30 seconds.
Yeah, if the entire movie was like that, it's like, oh, at least this is interesting to watch. But yeah, so basically he's lactose intolerant, so the formula stopped working. Although I don't understand, well, I don't know, when do you develop lactose intolerance? It's developed, right? It's not hereditary? Because otherwise, when was he able to take the formula in the first place? I'm not an expert on intolerance.
Lactose stuff is like, for some people, like the enzymes that help break down lactose, sometimes like as you get older, you have less of them. So you actually, like most adults can't process milk nearly as well as they could when they were children. So maybe like that just happened. He just like started to lack the enzymes to break it down. He started getting really sick and stuff. I'm like, oh, okay, this isn't going to work out anymore. And it booted him. That's my theory, but they don't really give us any info about that at all, so...
No, and it doesn't really need to, but thanks for the science knowledge. I hope some people were educated by that in the process of this podcast.
Okay, something that confuses me, right? We saw in the beginning that Boss Baby has a tooth. He has like one random tooth.
He does?
Oh, yeah.
I missed that.
He has one tooth. I remember seeing one random one. And then this guy had wasn't it the thing that indicated that he was growing was a tooth?
Yeah.
Doesn't that mean that Boss Baby is also losing control of the formula? So isn't it just that every baby is eventually just going to still be a baby and grow up and stuff?
And so, that would explain, how they recycled, right? Because if babies can stay babies forever, then at some point your office is going to be overpopulated. So you need some way of, weeding them out. And that would at least serve as a function, right? If the babies do get old eventually. It's not immortal. Like, it runs out after a certain time. But
I think maybe he doesn't have... I remember him having a tooth, but can't put any images of him having it, too. So, like, I don't know where we both got the same idea from.
But I don't know. I just remember some random shot. Maybe, like, I don't know. Just a random
shot. Maybe it was a continuity error then, because they had a big one that bothered me in the beginning when the kid was pouring his milk and it, like, goes over the table. He looks at the parents, they look right back at him, and then the table's fine and the milk's fine. Oh, no!
So, I don't think the Boss Baby people were too worried about continuity in this film.
It's animated, though. He forgets to animate it for months, years.
So you're saying you're crying over milk that wasn't spilled?
Yes, I am. That disappeared for no reason that's plausible in the context of the story. Yes.
Well, also here, I think I'm not sure if this is a commentary or anything, but like he mentions that he's replaced by the female Boss Baby in the process with someone newer, and so he gets kicked out. I don't even know if this movie is making any commentary whatsoever on corporate culture, but like that's like the one thing that's closest to like people get old, new people come in with times, blah, blah, blah.
But I do remember him when he told that to his brother, he was like, that sucks, that's horrible. And he's like, yeah. And I was like, unintentional misogyny there a little bit. That okay, now a woman takes your position and it's immediately like, oh, that she's horrible.
Wow. That was there, and also they mentioned so many times how much she screams a lot, and I'm like, okay, yeah. So she's like, she's the woman who is like the highest level of authority, but like the fact that she like shrieks a lot is the thing you're gonna point out. That's wench. Cool. Like, again, yeah. Like, it's not something that they probably like thought about, but like it just speaks to a lot of other things that exist in terms of how we talk about women in positions of power, and it made me sad too. So yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah, so something was off about that section there, but and so eventually he lays out his plan where he wants to get revenge on Baby Corp for kicking him out. So he introduces this forever puppy, and he's able to do that by stealing the Boss Baby's formula. He decides to take the parents to Las Vegas in order to keep the Boss Baby and Tim from following him. I'd hate for them to get terminated. So I guess we're introducing death as stakes here, maybe. Well, like,
maybe.
Is it death or just firing? Like, it's all this.
Maybe both.
With all this business talk.
Because, like, these parents work for the company, and they seem like they're pretty high up management. Like, they're doing okay. They're in marketing. And the kid's, like, willing to help kind of destroy their company to help the Boss Baby kid. Which, like, I get his reasons, but, like, how could he not see this panning out badly for his parents in the process since they are a part of that company, too? And that's their livelihood. I guess so. He is only 7 and a half.
Yeah. So, but to convince the parents to go, he leaves his brother Eugene, who dresses up in drag like Mrs. Doubtfire style, and dresses up as a babysitter.
Oh, and I get it.
Once again, referencing other movies because yeah. That's funny, right? And so they decide to get out by using some kind of like fake vomit. There's another chase sequence where Eugene is chasing them on a wagon. I think this is supposed to be a character development moment where, like, the boss is trying to convince Tim how to ride a bicycle, or, like, giving him motivational slogans, basically.
You don't have to have training wheels anymore. Like,
yeah. Summary, yeah. But there's, like, five different catchphrases that he threw out there in the middle of it. The only thing I wrote down is at the end, I don't have a quote for this!
Oh, yeah.
That was the only notable part of that sequence. They get to the airport on a bicycle. Who knows how close they live to the airport, but... They sneak through the TSA. I'm not sure what commentary this gives on the strength of our nation's security systems.
The kid and the baby just snuck through. I guess.
I mean, if you think about it, this takes place. I don't know if this takes place before a lot of those security measures were implemented. No, because they didn't have internet. They didn't have computers. They didn't.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you just need a cassette tape to record him. So like maybe 90s.
Yeah, so maybe that's why it was so easy. Like the one place where it's not a problem, maybe possibly.
Yeah, I think I was thrown off by the X-ray machine because like that looked very close to what's in real life, like what's today used. But I guess that's certainly possible that we're just, well, this is a long time ago. People didn't care about airports. You could go up to the gate and greet your people when they came out of the plane.
Yeah, bringing back friends. That's one of the ways that like that's like a lot of those scenes where like there were some scenes where they would go like, did Rachel get on the plane? The only way Ross knew was like by going to the airport. You know, there were. It all ties back to Friends, guys.
Alec Baldwin was in Friends once, wasn't he?
Yeah!
I've never seen Friends.
Oh my god!
It all ties back.
All you know about Friends, Sam, is that Ross straight up sucks.
That's what I heard.
He's the worst. That's all you know.
So now here we get the very expected part of them having a fight after having gotten along. Oh, I wish you'd never been born. They walk away. Like, a montage plays, even though it's only like a minute worth in the movie. and they have a phone conversation, the same terminals. We both care about our families. So let's get together again. And hooray, everything's fixed again. So the fight was useless.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
But, I just forgot how much padding this movie has.
Exactly. Like, this whole part is useless. Now here we get into a gag where to get onto a plane, they dress up as Elvis impersonators. Do kids these days even know who Elvis is or that there's an impersonation culture anymore?
Not really. Sort of, probably, but not really. I don't care!
Like, that's one of the biggest jokes for adults, right? Like, the fact, oh, hey, Elvis impersonator, Las Vegas, ha. Huh. But, and I think that, at least in one of the versions I saw, that they have subtitles for the Elvis people, like, they're speaking in Elvis lyrics, and they give normal speaking. Did anybody else see that, or is that just my imagination?
No, but okay. I mean, I wasn't really following the movie super intently at that particular point, so it's possible.
Okay.
By that point, I was just like, okay, I don't know. I was too busy trying to find it. I mean, I was live blogging this on the Discord, plug for Discord. So I was much more focused at that point to just finding really good screen caps and making witty comments about them for the Discord than I was about actually paying attention to the movie.
This entire movie is a vehicle for witty comments. That's all it serves purpose for.
I feel like we should get a badge of honor if we've seen this movie. Like, oh, I saw the boss baby.
Yeah. Another joke that doesn't make any sense is that they sneak into first class. The flight attendant comes, hey, how did you guys get in here? We're the captain's kids. And of course, not even a question of the captain, like, hey, are your kids on the plane? He's like, nah, fine. Okay, whatever you want. Like, that part annoyed me. It's like, another scene that I guess is supposed to be character development, but at least to me, it doesn't land, is Tim being like, unleash your imagination. And they have this, like, pirate role play scene. And you gotta get into it.
Wow.
I couldn't take it. Like, it was just too much. Like, I'm over it. Just get me to, like, the climax of it.
But the dumb part is that, like, they reference this in the climax of the movie.
I know, which I was like, okay, cool. Let's just get past this. And get to the end.
Yeah.
It was like the movie's like, we got padded out, but also we gotta, like, give Boss Baby a reason to want to have a family. So we have to, like, get the other, whatever that kid's name, I don't remember.
Tim.
Whoever he is. Yeah. We have to get him to, like, give him something that he's never had before. An imagination.
And
it's like, but, like, it felt very just, like, sloppy and, like, we know exactly why you're doing this. You're not fooling anyone, movie.
And the sad part is that sequence is actually another one of these, like, it's a slight shift in animation style. Like, it's a bit more, even more cartoony than the rest of the movie. But, like, it's wasted in the scene. And, like, as you guys skipped over it, right? It's, like, it serves no purpose. But, and despite the fact that you're experimenting with visual styles, it doesn't actually transmit anything.
I mean, I will say there is, like, after that sequence, and then I still don't remember the kid's name. The kid, he goes into the bachelorette party and then he gets alcohol.
Right. Like, the people of Long Island do not know how to make an iced tea.
Oh my God.
You got Long Island iced tea. Get it, guys? Ha.
That is an alcoholic drink.
Yeah.
Maybe they're gonna know what that is, movie. Isn't this supposed to be for kids?
And not just that, but it's a bachelorette party. Like, they know they're not gonna give a child out. This isn't like some, like, teenager who wants to get drunk. This is a child, and they just gave him alcohol. It's like, no.
Well, look. You say they're not idiots, but they believe him when he says we live at the convention center.
I don't know. Maybe, like, they were like, maybe
an underground community of just conventionizers.
Maybe they were like, oh, look, these kids don't, like, maybe they're like, these kids don't know how to speak English. Maybe they're not tourists, so maybe they just didn't mean that. Who knows? Like, whatever. You don't give a child alcohol. Like, there are ways to, like, to think through, like, there are ways to we don't even see the reaction to it. So it's like, we don't even see them being like, huh? Or anything. It's just, I live at the convention center. Then boom, we're at the convention center. Isn't that kind of how it went? So
maybe sometimes convention centers have hotels,
like, inside them.
Yeah, that's actually true.
But, yeah.
But once again, a kid and a baby living there.
People live in hotels. Yeah, but they just live in hotels. Like, and Cody, like, people live in hotels.
Yeah, the Florida Project, too, I guess, is sort of in this, right? Like, they live in a motel. Is that the idea?
Yeah.
But, I have important information. The inventor of the Long Island iced tea, his name is Robert Butt.
Once they saw his last name, you're like, we have to include it. But we're riding on that butt humor for this movie. We gotta have the butt guy.
Exactly.
Include an iced tea joke, yeah.
Now we're here at the climax, finally. They introduce the puppy. Francis notices the Tim and the baby. He kidnaps the parents. And we see that his plan is to put all the puppies in this rocket and, I guess, drop them over Santa Claus style. I think that's what we're headed for.
They're gonna kill them! They don't have seatbelts in that rocket! They're gonna die!
this formula is supposed to like be like immortal, right? But does that mean that the babies can't get hurt? Is that also a possibility here?
Also, they have to keep drinking the formula for it to work, and that's a big plot point for the baby because he starts to morph into a normal baby because he hasn't had the formula in a while. So the puppies would need more of the formula too. Like, it's not like a one-time deal thing. So that would wear off eventually.
Maybe they're just injecting this formula into the puppies' bloodstream as they're creating them.
But then why don't they do that with the babies?
Because, I don't know, God just doesn't want to do that.
As much as the movie hates to admit it, they cannot clone babies yet, and ladies do make them, even though they don't want to believe it. It's true.
Yes. Let's see here. So there's a fight scene. Eugene chases him and falls. Boss Baby says Elvis has left the building because that's a relevant joke in 2018.
Las Vegas, Elvis.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I don't live in Nevada. I'd be so mad.
I'm pretty close.
Oh, yeah.
The baby activates his pirate imagination to, I guess, give him the strength to fight against Francis. They dump him into the pool of formula. He reverts back. But one thing we haven't really talked about is that because his formula was stolen, he keeps reverting back into a normal baby at random times. So
he goes goo goo gaga.
Yeah.
Great.
And so here, because the movie dictates that we need one final dramatic moment, so the baby reverts into a baby just as the rocket is about to launch. So Tim has to sing him the Blackbird song to calm him down, and
why that song?
After the first time,
and I think it's just that, you know, it's the same thing with the Lord of the Rings references. It's probably that the director was a fan, so they wanted it in there.
There's just so many references in this movie. they save everybody. I guess this is a fulfillment of his dreams in the beginning where he saves his parents all the time because the parents literally say, "You saved us, or you're our hero." So they say goodbye, the baby goes back to heaven or wherever. But of course, they both miss each other. There's also a moment where the little babies in astronaut costumes are using magic wands to erase the parents' memory, which is a little disturbing. Also reference to Men in Black, which also uses this tactic. So we have that. Tim brings back the mention of a memo and writes the memo to Boss Baby. Like, "I want to give you all of my love." And you have the epic orchestral music as a bunch of beads fall from the envelope.
Like, "How did he get all those beads? He has like 12 on his little thingy. Like, where did all the beads come from?"
He calls back to the speech that Boss Baby gave him about watching, being there like every night and birthday and all that stuff. Yeah. Except now it's sweet because he needs as like a loving brother and not like as a weird vengeance thing.
Boss Baby is happy about this. He retires. He strips as he leaves the office, which is every office worker's dream, I'm sure.
Yeah. He smooches his superior on the cheek, and I'm just like, "Guy, just leave people alone. Don't kiss anyone. Just leave."
My imagination when I quit is to, like, you know, walk out and just flip the bird and take a bunch of, like, materials from the... This is what I did when I quit my life. My last day, I just, like, stole a bunch of stuff. I didn't steal like a bunch of important things. It's just like I stole like a roll of paper towels. And then when I was walking out, I flipped the bird and then I walked out and I left. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. I mean, we all have fantasies. Even though the last time I quit a job, I just walked out the door. I didn't even say goodbye to anybody. I'm more of a wuss than the Boss Baby, I guess.
Baby is too cocky for his own good, though, so I think that's not a thing to aspire to.
Yeah.
If you're not on a streak when you're quitting your job, what's the point of quitting your job?
So we have the baby coming back, and here's your new baby brother. And this time we give him a name, because we never gave the Boss Baby a name, but all this time.
Yeah.
But it's like, his name is Theodore Lindsay. And of course, Tim, being a very selfish jerk, chuckles at Lindsay, even though the baby laughed at his middle name. And so we flash forward, and it turns out it's the older Tim telling the story to his daughter. And the older Ted comes and gives him a hug, throws money at the kid, because that's what rich people do, I guess.
That's what I would do.
And set up for the sequel, guys. There's another Boss Baby, but it's a girl, and it winks at the camera.
I actually did read on the Wikipedia that they are planning a sequel in, like, 2021.
I have an issue with the girl Boss Baby, though.
What's your issue?
It is established, and they go out of the weird cloud corporate headquarters. The boy Boss Babies have suits, and all the girl Boss Babies have, like, cardigans and little skirt things. They're all very feminine, but this child has a full-on suit, so, like, what does that mean?
Well, progress!
Of the Boss Babies, that's what I'd like to think, but I can't trust that that is what they meant by it.
No, you see, the whole story took place in the 70s, but we flash forward to today. So today we're more advanced in our fashion norms.
I would like to see.
Real answer, they don't care. But
they want money.
Yeah. And I think that's it. There's a stinger scene at the end if you bothered to stay after the credits. The Gandalf alarm clock saying, wake up, it's time to leave. Go on and live your peasant lives. Be gone with you. Just like, you know, basically like Deadpool, right? Like, get out of the theater, go away. But yeah, that concludes our analysis and deep dive on The Boss Baby.
Wait, I have a question.
Yes.
If Alec Baldwin's returning for Boss Baby 2, he's not going to be a baby again, right?
Yeah, I'm too
oh
confused.
My God, they're going to give him the formula and have to make him into a baby again. Oh, this is going to be horrible.
Well, see, also, along with the movie, there's actually supposed to be an animated series coming out as well on Netflix next year. And let me read you the synopsis here, according to Variety. Boss Baby, with the help of his big brother and partner in crime, Tim, continue to navigate the corporate jungle gym of Baby Corp while angling to achieve the impossible work-life balance of a modern career baby. So
this is why nobody takes animation seriously.
back to our original...
That should be the tagline for this podcast. This movie is why people don't take animation seriously.
Because people keep coming out really, like, thoughtless cash grabs. And, you know, now we gotta make an animated series, which is another cash grab, and, like, merchandise and a whole bunch of stuff, and that's why nobody takes it seriously, because people just, like, get dollar signs in their eyes and they don't care about, like, the narrative or the structure of the art that goes into making animated features, animated shows. So, like, what's the point?
And you know what really, really bugs me? Is that people went to see this movie! This movie made money! Yeah. People rather had gone to see this one than Captain Underpants. Like, people prefer to see this than Ferdinand. I mean, look, I'm not the biggest fan of Ferdinand, but I prefer that over this because that one at least has more positive potential. This one's just garbage.
Yeah.
Like, it's just really frustrating.
And it just speaks to, like, the weakness of this year's slates, right? Because this was released in, like, the middle of February, I think, where the only other movie at that time was the Smurfs sequel, right? So, like, they just dropped it in...
Where's the Smurfs Oscar nomination?
Right, we're missing that.
Forever,
But yeah, like, they picked a right place to put this, but the problem is, like, then once all the, like, better anime movies come along later, and they get dropped in places where there are more movies to watch, and they just get thrown by the wayside, and in part because, like, the reputation of animation is hurt by movies like this, where it's like, we're making this specifically for kids, it doesn't have to be smart, it just needs to have something cute to look at for 60 minutes. And, like, at least to us, it doesn't look cute, but I'm pretty sure there are children who are just like, oh, okay, it's a baby, he does things, that's nice. But, like, that's just very demeaning to, like, the medium of animation, like, what it can be used for, right? Especially just in this year, like, you have Coco, you have Loving Vincent, things that are being used more interestingly and, like, more mature themes than something that, like, that animation is just being stereotyped as just something for kids. Like, movies like this is what perpetuates that stereotype.
Yeah.
So that concludes our analysis of the Oscar-nominated feature, The Boss Baby. if you'd like to hear our discussion on better animated films and other animated properties, you can find our podcast at overlyanimated.com. As Beatrice has mentioned several times, you can join us on Discord if you want to chat with us about animation. You can
Discord join us at overlyanimated. Discord is where it's at.
It's happened.
It's happened.
Oh, I can say that's true, yeah!
It's lit, fam.
Yeah, you get analysis on all good and bad animated content there at overlyanimated.com/discord. We would also appreciate it if you could support us financially via Patreon at patreon.com/overlyanimated. Thanks to all of our current patrons, especially our patron of the podcast, Steve, aka Frequent Commenter Steve. And thanks as always to our Patreon executive producers, John, Ryan, Steve, Andy, Hugh, and yours truly. We have several other podcasts coming up. I believe we're still doing Miraculous Ladybug coverage. Mysticons is still going on. Bet programs that are more worth your time than The Boss Baby. And thank you for listening to this entire podcast. We appreciate that you lasted an episode that's about the same runtime as the movie we talked about somehow.
We're probably more entertaining. I'll say that now.
Hopefully. Let us know how we did. But thanks for listening to everyone, and we'll see you next time. Adios.
Bye.